All right, guys. New series post Easter. We're gonna do this series called Abide, what we just sang about. So I need a couple favors from you. If you've got a Bible, we're gonna be in John 15, and in Galatians 5, two primary texts really for the whole series. John 15, Galatians 5. Also, we would ask that you would grab a bulletin of some sort. If you didn't get a hard copy when you came in, we have a digital version, same way that you did the giving. We've got a QR code on the screen. All you got to do is point your camera phone there. It'll give you a link, says sermons.church.us, something like that. Take you to our online notes. They are fill in the blank, and they're awesome, so we like them a lot. I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, and then we'll jump in. Father, thanks for loving us and allow us to gather. Holy Spirit, we just recognize your role in our church. You're the teacher of the church. You're our own personal teacher and guide. You're the one that empowers us to speak truth and to testify. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you do all those things in our midst this morning. Would you teach us and lead us and teach us from the inside out about why it is so important that we remain in Jesus. We want to see it this morning. We love you. We ask that you do a work in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Well, guys, I think it goes without saying, I have never met a Christian that said to me, I do not want to be effective building the kingdom of God. Not once have I ever met a person that said, hey, I want to spend my whole life on earth. I just want to waste it doing earthly things. I don't want to store up any treasure in heaven. Never have I heard a believer of Jesus say that to me, yet the majority of believers, when they survey their life, they feel like there is very little spiritual fruit, right? They feel like there's very little spiritual fruit. And this morning, I want to tell you, there's one reason for that. If there were one thing you could do in your life, there's one thing you can learn to do, one spiritual habit that will outdo anything else you ever do. One spiritual habit. And if you learn to do this one spiritual habit, the Bible promises that you will live a life of eternal significance, that your time on earth will store up treasure in heaven, and that you'll have a huge kingdom impact. One thing. You want to know what it is? Abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ, that's it. If we can learn how to remain in Jesus, in Galatians, Paul calls it keeping it in step with the Spirit. If we can get good at that, man, we can have lives that have great consequence when it comes to eternity, all right? So, here's what we're going to do. Over the next 9 weeks, kind of going to talk about it. Unfortunately, we're not going to talk about how to do it for 9 weeks. This morning is the how to do it sermon, okay? Because it's one thing. It's abide. We're going to talk about this one. But then the next 9 weeks, we're going to talk about what the result of that is. If we can abide, what will happen in our lives? How will this fruit that God promises manifest itself in us in real ways that we are changed as well as the people around us? All right? So that's what we're going to do. That's where we are. So if you have your Bibles, I'm in John chapter 15. I would love to read this with you. I'm going to start in verse 1, one of my favorite passages in Scripture. We'll read about 17 verses together. And our Lord, Jesus, says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that doesn't produce fruit, he removes and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it'll produce even more fruit. By the way, that's fun, Christians. When you're living your life, you start producing a little fruit, and then God's like, yeah, we're going to cut this area out so you can be even more fruitful. When the Lord cuts on you, that's awesome, right? Woo! Yeah! I love pruning! It's great. It's great. Verse 3, he says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in my word. Hold on. You've already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself, unless it remains in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he's thrown aside like a branch. He withers, they gather them, they throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. He says, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything I heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another. Y'all, got three observations in that text to kind of kick off this series. Here's the first. I want you to know that the only way we can produce spiritual fruit that lasts is by learning to remain in Jesus. That sounds simple, but that is at the heart of it. If you are ever been frustrated when you survey your life and you feel like there is a lack of fruit, there's always one reason, and it's this one here, and we don't like it, but we got to talk about it, right? So this is the truth. The only way we can produce spiritual fruit that lasts is by learning to remain in Jesus. And so we see this in verse 5, right? Jesus says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Now, what does that mean? Does Jesus actually mean that we can physically do nothing without him? Is that what you think that passage means? I don't know about you, but my life is a testament that that can't be what it means, right? Because I do all kinds of things without Jesus, without his consent. Anyone else? Am I the only one in the room, right? I constantly spend my time and my talents and my treasure doing things without seeking the Lord first. I just do it. I'm like, oh, that sounds good. Oh, that sounds fun. Oh, yeah, something new and shiny sounds great. And then I just do it. And then I turn around and I've got a payment. I'm like, oh, this is horrible. It's horrible. Y'all, I constantly jump into things without seeking the Lord. I think that is the testament of our lives. So Jesus cannot be speaking. He can't be saying like, hey, you can do nothing without me. He doesn't mean that in a general sense. Rather, he must mean it in a spiritual sense, right? In a spiritual sense that we can do nothing of a spiritual sense, nothing to provide spiritual change in our lives or in our world apart from him. That's a heavy, heavy comment. You need to write that down somewhere. You can do nothing to bring about spiritual change in your life or in our world without remaining in Jesus. Nothing. And some of you have tried. Anybody else? Anybody else tried the Christian thing without the Christ? Whew, it stinks. It's really, really hard. So that's our first truth, guys. And listen to the analogy again, verse 5. I'm the vine. The one who remains in me produces fruit. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm the source, right? I'm where the power comes from. I'm where the nutrients come from. On your own, man, you get none of that. And I believe, how many of you have been doing the following Jesus thing for, let's just show, how many of you have been following Jesus for less than a year? You're just starting out. I love you guys. You're awesome. Come on, anybody? Just starting out? Yeah, let's go. Man, yeah, you guys are the most evangelistic people in the church, by the way, okay? You invite more people to church than anyone else. All you other people, when I get to how many of you have been doing it for 50 years, you better invite as many people as our one-year people do, okay? So yeah, that's awesome. How many of you would say, I've been following Jesus like 5 years, 5 years-ish, 5 years? Come on. Okay, awesome, terrific. How many of you are like, I've been following Jesus about 10? Anybody at the 10? Yes, great. Where are my 20 folks? My 20 folks. 20 years I've been following the Lord, okay? Awesome. Anybody been following the Lord for 40? It's a big jump. 40 years. Some of you are like, I'm only 53, Pastor. Come on. Like, oh, that's good. That's good. Do I have anybody that's been following Jesus for at least 50 years? Oh, praise God. Anybody 60? 60 years. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. So good. That is so, so good. If you've been following Jesus for more than 60 seconds, here's something that you've learned. That you can do lots of stuff that is Christian but see no change unless he's in it, right? We've all, well, I'm going to read my Bible. Well, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to this study. I'm going to do this. I'm going to listen to that. But unless we're abiding in Christ, none of that stuff matters, right? None of that stuff matters. So that's our first point. The only way we can produce spiritual fruit that lasts is by learning to remain in Jesus. And the reason that's so important, guys, is because of our second point, right? Here it is. When it comes to God, we tend to gravitate towards routines rather than relationships. It's a hard truth, but it is true. When it comes to God, we tend to gravitate towards routines rather than relationships. We love spiritual routines and practices. By the way, that's called religion. And humans crave it. Humans crave religion. Okay? Abiding, just so you know, has nothing to do with a religion. Abiding has to do with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship is so different than a routine, y'all. It is so different than a routine. Married couples can attest to this, right? You can go through your routines. Hey, I got up. I got my wife some coffee. We got the kids out the door. Man, we came home. We got them to soccer practice. Then we cooked a little something. Everybody ate, and then we all went to bed. Ah, and you are empty. You're not fulfilled. You don't feel loved. Right? Because routines and relationships are different things. And y'all, our human nature is that we like routines. Even when it comes to spiritual stuff, man. We like check boxes. We do. We love them. We like lists. We like to think when it comes to God, if I do A and B and C, then God will do X and Y and Z. Like, that's how we think. We just think, man, if I'll do this, man, if I will start to read my Bible, man, if I'll pray a couple times a day, if I start kind of going to church on a regular basis, if I get in a Bible study, if I kind of drink a little less, if I stop cussing so much, if I do all that, then my life is going to matter. If I do all that, all those lost people around me just magically going to get saved. Right? If I do all that, I'm going to be this great disciple of Jesus. And listen, it's not that all that is bad. It's not that the practices are bad, but the Bible is proof that it is really easy to learn stuff about the Lord without having a relationship with the Lord. It's really easy to go through rituals like showing up to a thing called church and standing up when it's time to stand, and singing when other people are singing, and giving a little when other people are giving. And it is possible to do all of those things without having a relationship with Jesus. It's possible to forget about the relational aspect. What does Jesus say to the church in Ephesus? He literally says to them, like, you guys are so good at so many things. Man, you test false prophets. Like, man, you know the word. He says, yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do what you did at first. It's a call back to relationship. Does it make sense? Another way to put it is this. We all build our lives. We're all builders, by the way. And so we kind of build who we are, what people think about us. We build our spiritual lives too. It is possible to build what appears to be a healthy spiritual life, but not do it on the foundation of a relationship with Christ. And you look very Christian to the outside world. You've got all the t-shirts. You've got all the jewelry. You even know a few of the verses, but you're not actually spending time with Jesus. We all fall into this camp from time to time, and we need to be reminded. Here's what the Apostle Paul would say about that, 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. For those of us that really want our lives to matter, he'll say, anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw. Think about all the work we put in to doing church. It says each one's work is going to become obvious, for the day is going to disclose it, because it'll be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he's going to receive a reward. That's what we're living for. But anyone's work is burned up, he'll experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. Say, man, listen, it is possible to do stuff for God that's not actually done out of a relationship with God. And that stuff's not going to last. Can I ask you a question? just to cut to the heart of it, because we're going to do this for 9 weeks. Like, I could change my sermon series. If you guys are like, no, I don't want to hear about this stuff anymore, you just switch it all up. Is anyone ever frustrated at what they feel like is a lack of spiritual fruit in their life? Anybody? Are we bold enough in church to confess it? Okay, a fifth of you. That's it. Everyone else is happy. Can we try it again? How many of you, when you survey your life, you're not so sure that you're doing really significant stuff? You like want to do more significant. Come on. It's okay. Okay, that's better. That's half of us. The rest of you, well, y'all come preach next week. It's fine. It's fine. It's key. The only way we can produce spiritual fruit that lasts is learning to remain in Jesus. That's about relationship. The problem with that is when it comes to God, we tend to gravitate towards routines rather than relationship. And that kind of just leads to the last point is that, listen, remaining in Jesus means, because here's what I want you to do. For the next 9 weeks, you're going to practice this one sermon that we're talking about today. You're just going to focus on remaining in Jesus. We're going to drop all the other stuff, all the other concerns. We're just going to focus on a relationship with Christ. So remaining in Jesus means we are consistently maintaining a close relationship with Him through prayer and obedience. Prayer and obedience, prayer and obedience, prayer and obedience, prayer and obedience. Now, that's only two blanks, prayer and obedience, prayer and obedience, prayer and obedience. That's only two blanks, but it actually really breaks down kind of into four things. And so I'm going to give you four keys. They're in your notes. I actually wrote them for you. So you could just look up here and you don't have to write anything down, right? Imagine that. That's a gift. Y'all are welcome. Happy post-Easter. Here we go. Four keys to remaining. Four. All right. Number one, prayer. Like that was in the other one. Prayer. What is prayer? It's just talking to God. It's talking to God. Listen, remaining in Christ, abiding in Christ, keeping in step with the Spirit is not about ritual. It is not about things. It is about the person of Jesus. And all relationships start with communication. Communication is key to any healthy relationship. And if your prayer life stinks, you have little fruit in your life. I love you. If your prayer life stinks, so does your fruit. You don't have much. I'm telling you right now. Because fruit comes from a relationship, not through the ritual. Fruit doesn't come from doing more. It comes from spending more time with the person of Jesus. All right? So fruit, prayer, talking to God, it is huge. So let's look again at what Jesus says to his disciples, verse 16. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and produce fruit, that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give you. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. Notice the expectation is that we will be praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. Jesus expects us to pray. Like other places in the gospel, he says, when you pray, do this. The expectation is we'll talk to him. Like, can you imagine the audacity of people who have been saved by the sacrifice of the Son of God, who stepped out of heaven and into humanity and bore all of our sin, was torn apart in his flesh and crucified on a cross for our sake, and we say thank you one time. Thank you, forgive me of my sin, come into my life, and then we are silent. What? Are you ashamed? Why? Where's the constant communication? Like that's the call. Notice the call of Scripture. You say, how often should I pray? Well, 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray constantly. That's how often. Constantly. In everything that we do, that we should be thinking about Jesus, running to Jesus, talking with Jesus. Why? Because he wants us to. And y'all, I've heard so many bad arguments. Some people think, well, Jesus is too busy for me. No. Jesus is so much bigger than you that he can do it all. All right? Do not convince yourself, well, it's just not that important. What? Right? And then there's the other people. Like, they can't pray for themselves. They something happens, the first thing they do, they call everybody else. Would you please pray for me? Please. Pray for me. I got this going on. Would you pray for me? Would you? Now, there are times that I am deeply in prayer for something that I go, hey, could you join me in this? But we all as Christians have this habit. No, how many of you have asked somebody to pray for you before you've really, truly just prayed and prayed and prayed about it yourself? Anybody? Come on. There's like five of us sinners in the room. I do it all the time. I catch myself all the time. Like, oh, yeah, hey, would you pray for me? I'm struggling with such and such. And then the Holy Spirit's like, have you prayed? It's like, oh, man. So the first key to remaining is this prayer thing. Jesus expects us to pray. The second key to remaining is study. Is study. So I'll look at verse 10, which is going to talk about obedience, which is actually the third key to remaining. But before you can obey, you got to know what you're obeying. So study. Right? Verse 10, Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So one of the keys to remaining in Christ is keeping his commands, but we can't keep his commands if we do not know his commands. And so a big part of remaining, of abiding in Christ is going to have to be for us, unless you know it all. Got any Christian know-it-alls this morning? Anybody killing it? Anybody spiritually, you're like, people should follow me. No? Okay. So then a key to knowing the commands is going to be studying, right? Regularly reading, studying, and thinking about the Bible matters. It's one of the reasons when you come here, we give you questions to go home with. We don't write those just praying that they get thrown away, believe it or not. We actually write them believing that if you will go home and think about what you've heard and you will open your Bibles, that God will do a work in you, right? That'll help you abide, which will ultimately produce fruit in your life because you can do nothing without Him. You guys can serve here all you want. You can go to every program we offer. You can go to every class. But if you are not remaining in Christ, you can do nothing to change yourself or to change the world. So you've got to keep His commands. So the third one. So the second is study. The third key is then just obedience, right? It's actually doing what Jesus says. Doing what Jesus says. Now I want to rock your world a little bit. I want you to do what Jesus says. It's going to mess up some of your theologies. I love you. You're welcome. So here's the key. Ready? All of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament should be interpreted through Jesus Christ. Anybody want to argue? Anybody? All the Old Testament, all the New Testament should be interpreted through the lens of Jesus Christ. And I love you guys. Who are my Old Testament folks? You guys love reading the Old Testament. Come on, some of you Old Testament, you love it. I love the Old Testament. I love the stories of the Bible. Jens, I know you're an Old Testament guy. Come on, right? Right? Anybody else love reading the Old Testament? I'm not talking about Leviticus, y'all. I'm talking like, oh, I love me some Exodus. I love Joshua. Come on, any Old Testament. Daniel, come on, anybody. Do you guys not like the Old Testament? Boy, okay, next year, all Old Testament. That's what we're going to do. We're going old. I love the Old Testament. But here is what happens. Some people, when they're reading the Old Testament and they're thinking about obedience, they think that they are supposed to live out every command that they find in the Old Testament, not understanding that those commands were written for the Israelites for a certain period of time in their life, that Jesus fulfilled those and finished those, he says, and that he says all of that stuff could be wrapped up in two things, love God and love people. It's the law of Christ. New covenant. Okay? Does that mean that the Old Testament is pointless? Absolutely not. Does it mean that the moral law of the Old Testament shouldn't be followed? Like, don't covet your neighbor. No. Of course you should follow that. But what it means is that for some people, they get in the Old Testament, they come to me and like, well, Pastor, I read this Bible, I read this verse and they'll just throw it out, and it says this. So why am I doing that? And I'm like, well, because Jesus fulfilled that for us, thank God. Grace, right? And so so it's got to be interpreted through the lens of Jesus. All the Old Testament points to Jesus. Who are my New Testament folks? Love you guys. Come on, how many of you, Paul's your favorite author? Come on, yeah. Like, Paul's my favorite author. Guess what? Paul should be interpreted through the lens of Jesus too. I love you. Some of you have built entire theological ecosystems built on the writings of Paul, not taking those writings and applying them through the lens of Jesus, right? And so you'll read, I don't know, about the roles of women in ministry, for instance, and you'll not realize that Jesus was surrounded by women in ministry, right? I mean, like, that's the, you got to get it right. And so when I say you got to study, you got to study. And when I say you have to obey, I mean, you've got to obey the commands of Jesus, right? So it's important. It's important. So fourth thing we have to do, y'all, is it's I should put walk in the Spirit, but learn. We have to learn the Holy Spirit's role in our life, right? So following the Spirit's leading. And this is hard. I want to do a class on this, but I don't know how, right? I'm like, because the Holy Spirit works in different ways. And for me, I feel conviction. I feel a tug. I feel sometimes almost like a voice, but not out loud where you can hear it. But like, hey, dummy. That's the Holy Spirit's kind to me. Just calls me dummy to get my attention sometimes. Like, I don't know how to explain. I just know that when you are doing something and suddenly somebody's on your mind and it's God-related, that you should stop what you're doing and go do the God-related stuff. That's what I know. I know that when you're thinking through what you're going to talk about and suddenly something else is on your heart and you can't get rid of it, that you got to put aside what you were going to do and you got to say, okay, God, then I'm going to do what you want to do. I don't care about my notes. Like I want to preach your word and I'm going to do that. Like, I just know that when God brings conviction on you that you have to act, right? Y'all, we're here. Crazy story. We're in this building. I was driving home from Austin one day. We had already learned that we were landlocked and we're going to struggle to grow at our old location. And on the way home, suddenly I saw every for sale sign in every lot on the way. And I went to my deacons and said, is anybody else feeling like the Holy Spirit is pointing out the fact that all of the land around us is for sale and that we should probably buy some land? And God is doing the same thing in everybody else's hearts. Like, whoa. All I know is that Spirit will lead you. If Jesus is in you, His Spirit, He gave this Holy Spirit to us as a gift. He said, it's better for me to go away. You know what's better than me with you is me in you. Right? It's the mystery of the gospel. The Spirit of Jesus inside of us that tugs us and pulls us and gently corrects us and woos us to change and to be different. And we have to get sensitive enough. And you say, well, how do I know? Typically for me, the Holy Spirit is not screaming. Typically for me, the Holy Spirit is whispering. Hey, I've got something better for you. Follow. Come on. You remember that Old Testament passage, Old Testament people? And the prophet of God goes out and he's wanting to see God. And God passes by and it says, you know, God wasn't in the lightning and he wasn't in, you know, the thunder. He wasn't in the earthquake. God was in the gentle whisper. And we've got to understand how the Holy Spirit leads and figure this stuff out. It is key to producing fruit. So what do we do? I'll give you some application. I'm going to let you go. Number one, you got to receive Jesus. I can't talk to you about spiritual fruit if you have not been born of the Spirit. I'm not trying to bust your bubble, but that's the way it works. So spiritual fruit comes from spiritual people. We don't become spiritual people until we are born again, born of the Spirit of God. This is the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is like, hey, I want eternal life. He's like, man, you got to be born again. I got to go up in my mother's womb again. No, dude, that's gross. You have to be born of the Spirit, Nicodemus. You got to become a new person. You have to become spiritually alive. The way that happens is that you believe in Jesus. Say, Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. I want this new life. I want to be a child of God. I want to live forever. I want to go to heaven. I mean, all those things are different reasons, but ultimately I want to be a new person. I want to come spiritually alive. Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? Come into my life. Change me. And God honors that prayer. So the very first step to seeing spiritual fruit is becoming a spiritual person. You have to receive Jesus as Lord. Number two, then you have to examine your life. This is hard. A lot of us are doing a lot of stuff in this church, y'all. This church doesn't operate without you. You guys are awesome. This series is in no way meant to beat y'all up. It is meant to encourage you because I know you. And when I look at you, I see people that could have an impact on this city. I see people that could have an impact on their workplaces. I see students that could have an impact on their fellow students. I see people that God, I believe, wants to use to do eternal things. But I also know the pull of this world is a call to busyness. It's a call to stuff. And we get so busy even in ministry life. So I'm not saying drop all your ministry life. I'm saying walk with Jesus as you do ministry. It's so much better. It is so much better. Ministry without walking with Jesus is so soul-sucking. Trust me. I've been there. It's so much better if you're abiding in Christ. So examine your life. Here's the question. God, do I see fruit in my life? Maybe you don't even know what spiritual fruit is left yet. How many of you struggle to even know what spiritual fruit is? Like, I don't even know what it is. Like, some of you, how many people think spiritual fruit is just about how many people you lead to the Lord? Anybody? No? Okay. That was me forever. I was like, I'm just, like, anyway, it's a thing. So there's lots of spiritual fruit. Number three, last one. I want to challenge you over the next, so 9 weeks from this day forward, it's a total 10-week sermon. So 9 weeks, I want you to daily try to practice His presence. All that stuff we went over today, I want you to go back and look at this sermon like every week. Like the beginning, the intro week, every week. What are the four things? Am I doing the four things? Am I praying without ceasing? Am I studying? Am I obeying what Jesus says? Am I taking it, running it through the lens of Jesus? Are those the things I'm worried about? Listen, if you wake up every day and you're focused on two things, God, I want to love you to the best of my ability, and I want to love other people that they see your love come through me, your life will be different. The fruit will be different. People will see different stuff in you. It'll happen, right? Okay? So that stuff matters. And then learning how to walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you pray this prayer every day, the Holy Spirit will honor it every day. I've never had a day in my life the Holy Spirit didn't honor it. God put somebody in my path today. Like every day. Now, I've missed it a lot. Anybody else miss it? Anybody else just blown it? Like you knew that it was, you didn't miss it. You knew the Lord had done it and you just blew it. Like I've done that too. All right? But the more you learn to feel the Spirit moving in you, the better life gets. And it becomes like a dance. And I know that's hard for some Baptists, okay? But God's a dancer, I believe it, all right? So if like you're gonna figure it out. It's okay. You don't have to be great at it, but you gotta learn. You gotta learn how the Spirit leads, and God will bless that. God will bless that, all right? Hey, I'm gonna pray for us. We've got some announcements Miss Catherine's gonna give. I think we only have two this morning, which would be, that's the first time in forever. Father, thanks so much for loving us. Thanks for teaching us about the call, which is to remain in Jesus. God, for every frustrated heart, for every believer that longs to have a life that has impact, God, would you graciously love them today? Would you encourage them today? Would you let them know that this whole series is about teaching them what that fruit looks like, how that fruit is supposed to manifest itself in our life, but that it all starts with this morning's message, this commitment to remaining in you. And God, if we do, and if this is our singular focus in life, you will do so many cool things in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.